that, we've got company.
Hello.
Trust me, Hera, I'm excited. This is my excited face.
No, this makes me so happy.
I like you. You don't fit in around here either.
All right, if I tag along?
More the merrier.
Get ready to be impressed.
You ready to be impressed, Tam?
I'm completely ready.
Bright suns, everyone. You're listening to The Geeky Bubble. I am your host, Jonah, and with me is the marauder to my gonky. My mom, Maria.
Hello. Today, we're going to discuss the season 2 episodes of The Bad Batch, Crossing and Retrieval.
Yes. Yes, we are. So that means that we have 6 episodes left of the season. But before we talk about these 2 episodes, we actually have a trailer that fell or dropped, as the youngins say, that was dropped a few days ago. Why are you laughing at me?
I just love how you make yourself old without being old.
I mean, I am actually, because the other day there were these kids that made me feel super old. But yeah, anyway, I told mommy immediately not to watch it because there were spoilers in it. I'm sure you saw some things, though.
No.
Okay, good.
I'm telling you, I'm very good at bypassing anything that I don't need to watch or I don't want to watch.
Oh, I gotcha. Well, no, I get exposed to everything and anything. So when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, I didn't know about that. Ah, dang it. So, like, there were certain things I knew just based on what people had talked about last season, but then there were other things that completely escaped my attention until this trailer. So, yeah. But anyway, we won't discuss the trailer until after we're done with the season. And by the time we're done with the season, I think there's like a week where we won't record, and then the season three starts. I don't remember the calendar now, but we planned this out pretty well.
Yeah.
Because we started it earlier this year, and I was thinking, oh, okay, maybe they'll announce a third season in April or May. So we've got time. And then when I see February 21st, I'm like, oh man, we're like right up against it. So yeah. Anyway. So this is our first episode, Mommy, without Echo. And it was sad. It was sad. Omega was taking it pretty hard.
There's only 4. And then there were 4.
Yeah, and then there were 4. Exactly. And, you know, Wrecker tells her she'll get used to it. Hunter doesn't really talk about it. And Tech is very factual about what happened. And they're, you know, they're sort of aware of how she's acting. But they don't really do much about it.
They're not equipped with the skills necessary to tend to a child that is emotionally distressed.
Yeah. And I get that they're soldiers and that they adapt, but it's sort of like they were expecting her to do the same thing, kind of. Yeah. And it actually made me want to shake them because I was like, you guys need to like do something here. Well,
to Hunter's credit, he has a better hold on it because he actually knew and understood why she was acting and feeling the way she was.
Right.
So he does have that daddy vibe, you know, like
right.
But Tech was completely like, and I don't think that he was oblivious. It's just that Tech is Tech,
right. You know, yeah. And it feels like they should know that Omega can't compartmentalize and move on like they do.
Yeah.
So do you think they were in their own way giving her space, or did you get the impression they were kind of brushing it under the rug, hoping she'd feel better on her own?
No. That's what I said. What I said about Hunter, like he really understands what she's going through. So I do believe they were giving her space, you know, but sometimes you have to, you know, you have to measure how much space a person needs.
Right.
There's space, and then there's complete and utter disregard.
Right.
So, but they were in their own way trying to give her time to adjust to the new situation.
Right. Yeah, sort of like Wrecker telling her, you'll get used to it.
Yeah.
But it was just like a casual, it's okay, you'll get used to it, instead of like sitting her down.
they're coming from an adult soldier standpoint.
Yeah,
she's still a kid and she's not a soldier, even though she's capable of doing, which again is the part about parenting that is the toughest. It's like, you have to navigate those lines in between. Like, yes, she is as capable as they are because she was provided with all the abilities. She just needs to develop them more.
Mm.
But at the same time, she's not a soldier. So there's a line there that they're not really know how to cross.
Right.
And it doesn't help the fact that up to this point, Omega is always asking to be part of the team. So what does it mean to be part of the team?
Right.
It means to be a soldier.
I see. Yes.
So, you know, to me, they're doing a fantastic job, although Tech needs to start learning how to speak a little bit less tech.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. It's so, and that's what I really liked about this episode, because she came to an understanding with him, like where he's coming from in terms of how he thinks and how he processes things. And then he came to an understanding as to like where she's coming from and how she processes things.
Yeah.
So I really liked that about this particular episode. And Omega wanting to find the Marauder because that's their home. The others were like, oh, you know, we can't worry about that right now. The ship is just a mode of transportation. It's like they were like, it's whatever. It's, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
and the guys are so well trained to keep going regardless of whatever losses they experience, that they don't stop to think how this affects Omega. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it's not the first time they're lost at ship.
No.
What I'm saying? So to them, it's nothing new. But, you know, like I said, Hunter did realize, you know, no, it's not just only the ship. Is now the fact that she's still working through Echo.
Right, living. Yes. And then, you know, besides Kamino, this was her first real home, I want to say.
Yeah.
And I was wondering whether you think Omega would have reacted the same way if Echo was still there.
No.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And it's because of the fact that Echo was gone, it's sort of like exacerbated.
Yeah, it's what they say, how they say goes, home is where the heart is.
You know,
her heart is with them. Like, that's her nuclear family, you know?
That's where her home is, yeah.
So the fact that it was on the Marauder is, you know, it's just an aspect of it.
Right.
But then Echo leaves, and now what? We lose the ship, too?
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
You know?
It's all falling apart. Yes. I really loved how, that we know her so well, that if Echo was still there, she would not be reacting this way. It's because of all of these dramatic changes that are happening. That
she probably would have wanted to go after Gunky.
Yes, Gunky for sure. Yeah,
but not really like that's our home. Desperation kind of thing. You know?
Yeah. You know, we referenced it earlier, but I love how Tech has this heart to heart talk with Omega. And I feel like we have to break apart this conversation now because it was just such a well-written interaction between them. And I like that he ultimately tells her, I may process things different, moments and thoughts differently, but it does not mean that I feel any less than you.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of neurodivergent people felt seen during this moment because not everyone processes emotions the same way or thoughts the same way. But I don't know whether you picked up on this, but this moment really reminded me of Spock.
Yes.
There was this one particular moment in the Star Trek Into Darkness movie with Uhura and Spock, and she's accusing Spock of not feeling anything, of not caring about her or not caring about her feelings. And he tells her, and I had to write the quote down because it was just such a great quote. You misunderstand. It is true I chose not to feel anything upon realizing my own life was ending. As Admiral Pike was dying, I joined with his consciousness and experienced what he felt at the moment of his passing. Anger, confusion, loneliness, fear. I had experienced those feelings before, multiplied exponentially on the day my planet was destroyed. Such a feeling is something I choose never to experience again. But Nyota, you mistake my choice to not feel as a reflection of my not caring. I assure you, the truth is precisely the opposite. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, going back to Tech, his unique way of processing things is not a reflection
of
him not caring.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, yay, Spock moment. Because a lot of people see him as, a lot of neurodivergent people identify with Spock. And so.
Yeah, it's because it's a unique and different way of processing information. And you have to be understanding that not everybody processes information in the same way.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it was they kept fighting with each other, you know, Wrecker pushing on Tech pushing on Wrecker. But the truth is that they have come to an understanding of who they are.
Right.
As soldiers, adults, as a team.
Right.
Now they need to start getting an understanding of what it means to have Omega within their unit.
Yes.
It is a total different unit now. Feelings and emotions are going to have to be processed and thought of in different ways, because not everybody is going to be able to deal with it if you just throw it out there.
Right. And it's important to consider.
Yes.
You yourself don't have to change, because that's who you are. Right. And that goes for both Omega and Tech, but they have to
have an understanding
of where the other person's coming from.
Yeah. Yes.
And there's another Spock-like moment when Omega tells Tech that everything's changing, and then Tech says change is a fundamental part of life. And thinking back to an episode of Star Trek, the original series, there was one moment when Spock, it was the episode with the guys who were half black and half white.
Yep.
So there was a quote in that where Spock says, change is the essential process of all existence. And then I was just thinking about that. And, you know, we're creatures of habit.
Yes.
Yes. We easily get accustomed to
doing things and going through motions in a certain manner.
Because they either bring us comfort or what have you.
They bring stability.
Yes, stability. Basically. Yes.
Essentially, we all look for that. We all look for stability. We all look for that niche in the world where we feel comfortable.
Right. And then when the rug gets pulled out from under us, it feels disorienting and scary.
Yeah.
And I like how Tech and Omega's views on change are both valid, because
yes,
change is a natural part of life, but change can feel overwhelming and ominous to some, while completely logical and fundamental to others.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was, and I don't deal with change very well. No. I mean, I don't think most people do.
and you know what? One thing that I really like about this is the fact that you don't have to stop being who you are in order to understand the position of the other person.
Right.
You understanding somebody else does not take away from who you are.
Mm.
And it's a very, very simple, it's a very fine line that people tend to confuse a lot with, oh, you want me to change. No, you can continue to be who you are, just have a little bit more awareness of the other side.
Right.
And basically that interaction between the two of them is that perfect balance where, yes, I am this person, and yes, I am this person. However, I'm going to understand where you're coming from, and the other one, I'm going to understand where you're coming from.
Right, you know? And I had to look up a quote that Tech had said last season, but when he was talking with Crosshair, he said, understanding you does not mean I agree with you.
Yes, exactly.
I really love how Tech has just, you know, he's just laid it out. This is who he is. And I just love the consistency of that.
Yes.
And then in that conversation, did you pick up how Tech repeats how they should adapt and move on in two different ways, two different times? Because the first time he said, I'm aware you miss him, but we have to adapt and move on. And then the second time he said, even though it can be difficult to understand, we must carry on.
Yes.
And I feel like the emphasis was more for the audience. It was more for us than for Omega. But I do wonder whether, do you think Omega's going to take this advice to heart?
I do believe so, because we see the hints of it, where she says things and she looks at him.
Right, yes.
Sort of like, you see, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. I do like that. That was great. The little moment.
Moments, yeah. Them, and then, yeah.
But I do wonder, you know, like, there are going to be hard times to come.
Oh, yeah. Like in everything in life, you never stop learning.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah, you always learning. If you're paying attention, even when you're older, you're learning.
And then Tech also says, we do not need help. We will figure out a solution as we always do. And I got thinking, like, well, the thing about coming up with solutions is that sometimes those solutions don't always work in your favor. Yeah. A solution might involve having to leave someone behind, or maybe intentionally removing yourself from the equation. And of course, this got me thinking about Tron Legacy, because it's the best movie of all time. and that's the lesson that Kevin Flynn had been teaching Cora through literature, the art of the selfless and removing oneself from the equation. And that's what Kevin ended up doing in the end of the movie, by sacrificing himself in order to save his son, Sam, and Cora. So, yeah, solutions are great, but they don't always work the way you want.
Well, they work the best way they can.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And that's another thing that I think... it's one of the things that Omega still has to learn, that not all the solutions they're going to come up with are going to be perfect and are going to end up in the right place where they're looking for it to end.
Right.
You know, because like you said, not all the choices we make puts us in the right place.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So I really like how this episode's really setting up the characters for the craziness that's eventually going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I love that Tech brought up Crosshair, like, of his own volition. Like, he's the one who mentioned him. Omega didn't have to bring him up. But I like that Tech did. And it looked like, in saying his name, it hurt in some way.
Yeah.
Like his expression, his facial expression. And just because he didn't voice or show his feelings about Crosshair leaving before, that doesn't mean that he didn't care that that's what happened.
Yeah, and one of the scenes towards the end, when Omega and Tech are there, and Omega says, you know, there's a lot, it's not just the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Empire is not just the source of all evil. There's other things happening out there. I like how Tech points out to the fact, yeah, that may be the case, but then there's also a lot out there like us.
Yes.
Meaning, like, there's a balance. And to me, that sets up for what I'm always been saying, that at one point or another, they're going to have to choose their path. They're going towards having to make that decision of what path are we going to be taking.
Right.
Are we going to continue job from job doing this, what we've been doing now? Or are we going to go out and do more and be more of those like us, helping where others, or where not necessarily the Empire is the one doing damage, but other greedy people like Mako,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, that was a great, on a micro level, representation of what's happening with the Empire and the rest of the galaxy. Was there anything else you wanted to share about the conversation between Omega and Tech?
No, it was needed. It was brilliant. It was done very well.
Right.
And I just hope that we continue to grow and we continue to move on.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're on another mission for Sid. And things don't go according to plan. I mean, they never freaking do.
Oh, my God. At one point, I was like, come on. Enough is enough. Let these guys go out, you know. Nice for once.
Yeah, like let them win. Let them win. But yes, there was an instant there where just the plan just went completely sideways several times because it was the ship actually that got stolen that I was referring to. But yeah, the fact that they get that cave in, like, oh my God. And then falling into the water. I'm like, oh, geez. Okay,
first the stampede.
Oh, yes, the stampede.
Then comes the storm. Then comes the caving, then the waterfall.
Yeah. It was just like a domino effect. And so when they contact Sid, she's irritated with having to stick out her neck for them. And she's not quick to assist. And you can't help but think back to what Malagi said in the episode Faster when he told Omega, Wrecker, and Tech, with Sid, it doesn't always go both ways. Watch your backs.
Yes.
And I was just like, oh, no, we're headed there. We're headed there.
Yes, we are. Because at that moment, honestly, to me, Sid could have been better.
Especially
with what they've gone through already.
And especially, what Tech was bringing up, you know, with Roland Durand, with Malagi. Like, we've done things for you.
She doesn't like owing them.
And
you get that feeling when she tells, goggles, I don't need a recap, you know? At that moment there, I was like, okay, either this is a red herring and they're making us think she's going to betray them. Or this is actually what's going to end up happening because she did look annoyed.
Yeah, she was irritated. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing. It looks like something might go down within the next 3 episodes. So I guess we will see what ultimately happens. So let's jump over to this kid, Benny Barrow, who is the little thief who stole the Marauder. I recognize it the second time around, but he's voiced by this guy called Yuri Lowenthal. He's done a whole bunch of characters, but the one that stood out to me was Milo from Arcane. So, which is interesting because in Arcane, you have this affluent city called Piltover, where there's a lot of progress being made in technology and whatnot. And then you have this undercity called Zaun, where people are destitute, starving, and dying in most cases. And I'm not saying like that Piltover is like the empire, but there's this like systematic oppression.
Yes.
And keeping certain populations underneath your boot. That's very empire-like. And we see that playing out here on a smaller scale with this guy called Mako. And the kids he's exploiting and pitting against each other.
Oh my God, that scene when Mako is eating.
Yes.
It was like
gluttony.
Yes.
At its worst.
Like, dude, breathe.
And share. Jeez.
Oh my God. It was such an amazing representation of gluttony, of greed, of what caring only about yourself. And no one else, about being the one exploiting.
And to me, like, you couldn't help but think that Benny and the other boys and I play a role later on. Maybe, hopefully, possibly.
Yeah.
Sort of like at the end of Star Wars Rebels, where you had characters like Ketsu Onyo and Hondo and Mark Matten show up to help out the main characters. So I feel like there might come a point where, we might need some help.
He said, you know, call me if you need a thief.
I owe you. I like that. Episodes in which you really don't think these characters are going to matter down the line, they might actually do play a part. But in terms of other little things that happened, the whole stampede thing, instant Lion King vibes.
Yes.
I just was like, oh gosh, please don't tell me someone's going to die here.
Yeah. Like, wow.
When Wrecker couldn't come back up, I was just like, oh no, this is like Mufasa all over again. No, I can't do this.
It's my back.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so impressed with how they animated that. Just the hundreds of whatever those little space antelopes were. Yeah. Yeah.
And I like the aerial view.
Yes,
where the you aerial see the herd coming and getting closer, and they're in the front, the little specks,
yeah,
and now the herd coming behind, and the same that when you see that the storm coming, and the emphasis is behind the storm, but you see them in the front,
right?
Such a awesome animation.
Yeah, it was really exceptionally well done. And then you have Omega, who's extracting the Ipsium. Do you think it was reckless of them to use Omega for that task? Like, I know she can do it, but at the same time, I feel like it's questionable parenting skills.
Well, once again, we see that fine line, you know, like, we see and we know her as a kid, but at the same time, she is meant to be just like them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this dynamic where, yes, we're the adults, we're the soldiers, but you want to be an intricate part of the team. So when this is it.
Okay.
You yes. know?
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, as an outsider from outside, as a parent, I'm like, are you nuts? But if I'm going to put myself right in the middle
right.
of the team, then it makes sense because she has to play her part. She has to be, she's part of the team.
Right. It's sort of like what Sabine had told Ezra way back in season one of Star Wars Rebels, something about grab a crate, pull your weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like the part when Tech jumps in after Omega. It was such a very impulsive moment for him. Like, he didn't stop to think. He just reacted and jumped. And I was like, oh,
what?
My God.
I was like, what? Couldn't you think for a moment what you were doing? What if she's falling to her death? You're basically doing the same.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he just instantly reacted. Boom. And I was very surprised by that.
Because
he's such a
methodical,
strategic kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it really goes to show that Omega means a lot to him. She means a lot to all of them. And they're willing to put their lives on the line if it means helping her in some way.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, dude, what the freak?
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's pitch black. You have no idea what's at the bottom, if there even is a bottom.
Yeah.
And then when it turned out to be water, I was brought back to my days of Cornell and learning about gorges. And if there's like a hole that can suck you down, that's what you need to learn how to swim. I was just like, oh no, I can't. This is bringing back my nightmares.
Yeah.
And then when they got sucked in, I was like, oh no, what if there's no air pocket? Oh gosh. I was freaking out for them. And I love that. I totally honestly forgot about Gunky. So when Omega mentioned him, I was like, oh yeah, Gunky. But I just love that even though he's a defective little droid, they still keep him around because he's part of the team.
Well, you see it when at the end, Wrecker grabs him and,
yeah.
Hey,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Glad to have you back.
Yeah. So sweet. And I love how confident Omega was when she was being held captive by that droid and she was about to be dropped. Like the acrobatics and finesse with which both Omega and Hunter.
The fact that she knew Hunter will catch her.
Yes.
Like, you know what?
So confident.
I'm going for it because I know you catch her.
I love it. I love it. And it was just so well done. And then one last thing, like, I don't know about you, but I thought that the storm in the Crossing episode was very telling of the things to come. Like, yeah. There's a storm coming, there's a storm on the horizon, and not everyone who's going to encounter the storm is going to make it out alive.
What are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to tell me? You didn't want me to watch that, oh my God.
The trailer.
You didn't want me to watch the trailer. What are you telling me?
I don't know.
I don't want to cry anymore.
Well, we will see. We will see.
Oh my God. Why do you, you keep pulling me into this. You know I'm old, right?
Yeah, I know.
Stress is not good for my heart, Jonah.
Well, I mean, I see this as both ways, Mommy, because you pull me into shows that, you know, I had no intention of watching. No.
I do not pull you in.
Yes, you do.
You see me watching there. You see my responses, and you get curious. That's on you.
No. Oh, that's true. That is on me.
You get me into this thing.
That's true. It's okay. We'll find something to, you know, pay back another time. So that's it for today's episode. In our next episode, we'll be discussing Metamorphosis, Outpost, and Pabu, which reminds me of Legend of Korra because of Pabu, the little ferret, the fire ferret. Oh. And then this episode had a guy called Mako with two Ks instead of one. And I'm like, was there someone from The Legend of Korra working on this show?
All right. So until next time, may the Force be with you.
Always.